This is an excerpt from Katerina by James Frey. I'm hard and deep inside her, fucking her on the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on, her thong on the floor, my pants at my knees, our eyes locked, our hearts and souls and bodies locked. Come inside me. Come inside me. Come inside me. Blinding, breathless, shaking, overwhelming, exploding, white God, I come inside her, my cock throbbing, we're both moaning, eyes, hearts, souls, bodies, one. One white God. Come, come, come. I close my eyes, let out my breath. Come. I lean against her, both breathing hard. I'm still inside her, smiling. She takes my hands, lifts them, and places them around her body. She puts her arms around me. We stay still and breathe, hard inside her, tight and warm and wet around me. We breathe. She gently pushes me away. We look into each other's eyes. She smiles. This is an excerpt of The Quiddity of Will Self by Sam Mills. My fingers trembled downwards, inch by inch, and curled around our resplendent cock. For I had surrendered it to him, and from that day on, I would never be able to love another. Every ejaculation a metaphor that would belong to him. Oh yes, oh yes, oh Will, oh yes, oh semen bedizened, blood pusillanimous, bed onanistic, quiddity fulcrating, pelvic thrust smoke thick, typewriters click clack click, Will, our cock is spent. This is an excerpt from The Shape of Her by Rowan Somerville. He caught her rhythm, pulling and releasing, cradling and crushing, pushing up through his fingers with each swing, mining up like an otter through wet sand. Her sounds shifted from moans to grunts, insistent, almost desperate cries from the throat. He rested his hands on her hips and paused, turning her to him, kissing and climbing his hands up her back, drawing her to his torso and squeezing until he could feel the light give of her ribs. He covered her mouth with his, and she sucked at him, the smell of him filling her. He unbuttoned the front of her shirt and pulled it to the side so that her breast was uncovered, her nipple poking out, upturned like the nose of the loveliest nocturnal animal, sniffing in the night. He took it between his lips and sucked the salt from her. He hooked his fingers into her waistband, caught the elastic of her underwear, and began pulling down. The knot on her light cotton trousers held fast as the fabric reached the curve of her backside. She twisted from him and stepped back. I want to suck you. She loosed his trousers, pulled away his underwear, and gripped him with fingers tender enough to hold a tiny bird. As he felt her mouth's engulfment, he acquiesced, disappointment melting like ice in hot cream. Naked from waist to toe, a faint wedge of paleness from a few hours of sun, streaked with shadows in the candlelight. The triangle of pubic hair, blonde, a thin line bunched darkly, like desert vegetation following an underground stream. He placed his hand on the concave stretch that was her belly, letting two fingers rest in the yawn of her navel. He slipped downwards, grazing the tight skin of her waist with his fingertips. He reached her hairline, and the muscles of her belly hardened as she raised herself up onto her elbows. She stayed his hand and drew him, yanked him, into a smothering kiss. She released his hair from her fingers and twisted onto her belly like a fish flipping itself, her movement so brusque his chin bounced off her head. He grasped the side of her hips, pushed her away, and pulled her to him with a slap, again and again with more force and velocity. Tyne pressed her face deeper into the cushion, grunting into the foam at each thrust. The wet friction of her, tight around him, the sight of her open, stretched around him, the cleft of her body, it tore a climax out of him with a final lunge. Like a lepidopterist mounting a tough-skinned insect with a too blunt pin, he screwed himself into her. This is an excerpt from The First Casualty by Ben Elton. Murray was a nurse and used to undressing men. It was not long before she had found what she was looking for and liberated his straining manhood. And then he gasped out loud. The warmth of her mouth on him was almost too much to bear. "Oh, Jesus, yes," he gasped as her lips and teeth closed savagely around him and he felt the tip of her tongue poking and probing. Then, just when he was beginning to think that he must explode, her mouth was gone, and in its place, he felt her hands once more, and he smelt the unmistakable smell of oiled rubber. "Glad this wasn't hanging on the line to dry when you saw my room," he heard her say. "I think even I would have been embarrassed." She slipped the big, thick rubber sheath over him, and then pulled him down to her. Kingsley soon discovered that beneath her skirt she was wearing nothing. He felt the thick, luxuriant bush of soft, wet hair between her legs, and in a moment he was buried inside it. "Ooh la la," she breathed as he smelt the clean aroma of her short, bobbed hair and the rain-sodden grass around it. "Ooh la jolly well la." And so they made love together in the pouring rain, with Nurse Murray emitting a stream of girlish exclamations which seemed to indicate that she was enjoying herself. "Gosh, golly," and, as things moved towards a conclusion, even tally-ho. This is an excerpt from The Young Turk by Morris Farhi. I am stretched out on a sofa. My beloved is determined to assess my age. She has an infallible method for doing so, the way they ascertain a tree's age, by counting the rings in its trunk. Consequently, she has my member in her mouth. Her lips are thick with lipstick. Starting from the base of my penis, her mouth ambles upwards. At each half centimeter, her lips imprint a red ring around the shaft. She continues until she runs out of length. She counts the rings. On this occasion, they add up to 36. An hour ago, the number had been 41. She cuddles up to me. She coos. 30-odd rings. What a mature oak in one so young. We embrace. She smears her breasts and vagina with rose petal jam. She squats above my face so that I can imbibe in her splendor. She lowers herself onto my mouth and lets me lap up every bit of the rose petal jam. Then she mounts me, and, as she begins to rock, she rubs her breasts all over my face. I am in such ecstasy that I am ready to die. In fact, I want to die, because I know I shall never again find this heaven, the seventh heaven. This is an excerpt from Black Swan Green by David Mitchell. If Don Madden's breasts were a pair of Danishes, Debbie Crombie's got two space hoppers, each armed with a gribbly nipple. Tom Yu kissed them in turn and his saliva glistened in the April sun. I know watching was wrong, but I couldn't not. Tom Yu slipped off her red panties and stroked the cressy hair there. If you want me to stop, Madame Crombie, you have to say now. Oh, Master Yu, she crudled, don't you dare. Tom Yu got on her and sort of jiggled there, and she gasped like he was giving her a Chinese burn, and wrapped her legs round him, froggily. Now he moved up and down, man from Atlantisly. His silver chain jiggled on his neck. Now her grubby soles met like they were praying. Now his skin was glazed in roast pork sweat. Now she made a noise like a tortured Moomin troll. Now Tom Yu's body jerked, jitterily, jackknifed, and a noise like a ripping cable tore out of him. Once more, like he'd been booted in the balls. Her fingernails sunk salmony welts into his arse. Debbie Crombie's mouth made a perfect O. This is an excerpt from The Great Night by Chris Adrain. Now they fucked in earnest, which seemed like the right thing to do. No more tears, love, she said as he blubbered on her, but he couldn't stop, not even at the thought of mistakenly impregnating her with his sadness, and not even the thought of what fruit such a union might bear. A child constitutionally incapable of being happy, he thought, and part of him watched it, as he sniffed and licked and thrust, as his cock darted and bucked, as he rolled himself on her and off her, and poked her now from the front and now from the back, and now from the side. "No more words, my love," his lady said. So Huff didn't speak to it anymore, but tried to show by gestures what he meant. And it felt like he was discovering what he meant by and through this marvelous fucking, like he had never, in all his days of being wise, sometimes pretending and sometimes not, actually understood anything about suffering or joy until this very moment, which encapsulated and recapitulated the named and nameless struggles of his whole life, the outcome of which he was both breathlessly creating and breathlessly waiting for, not actually knowing if it would be triumph or defeat until he came, standing, with both hands thrown high up over his head, and his lady lifted to the stars on his impossibly stiff, impossibly eloquent cock. He came and came and came and fell backward, as if through a mile of air or a lifetime, to land on the soft grass with a noise like his name, feeling like he was saying his name properly for the first time, because for the first time he knew who he was and what he was all about and what he really wanted, which was precisely this. "Bravo," he called out, the words muffled by his lady's breast. "Bravo, everybody. Well done."